Okay, thank you. Okay, 1 more minute before we start. Eh? So I repeat, you have in front of you one J. Krishnamurti code, which is a very unique and very important code. The title of this code is Quiet Mind, Simple Mind. It's for you to develop the understanding of what that mundane mind, the egoic mind, is all about. Then how you can transform your this condition arising mind to develop the understanding, to develop the meditation, so that you can truly develop the training of the mind to meditate. Then you will start to develop clear understanding to move. Otherwise you will continuously trap. Then like I mentioned just now, a lot of meditator or cultivator, they are caught in this egoic mind, condition arising mind. Without understanding, they will have a lot of questions, a lot of doubt, and all these are the way of this condition arising mind or mundane mind, deluded mind that create all of the thinking through your knowledge, through your words, and through all those analytical movement of your mind. That's why because of that you cease to develop the meditation where your mind cannot be quiet, cannot be silent. And this type of mind is not a simple mind, because when you start to do too many things, you complicate it through the process of not understanding. So we will go through it afterwards. Okay, now we can start the puja. So tonight we will get 3 persons to come up here to light the candle and the incense. Can we have 3 new people who haven't done before? Elsie, maybe you accompany your friend. Then one more. Who else? Everybody here before. Okay, the 2 of you plus her. What's your name again? I forgot. May, yeah? Oh, okay, now I remember May. Okay, come. Come and light. There are 2 lighters. You light the incense? Come. You can help to light this candle. This candle, come. Elsie, come. You light here. You light the other candle. Okay. Lighter. Sadhu. Okay, you all can stand. Then we will make the offering. You start off by offering this one. No. The whole tray. Offer to the Buddha and Kuan Yin. Oh, never mind. Slowly. I'll put it on for you. Come. Sadhu. Ayuh. How? I think the center part, the thing is not clear. It cannot stick. Well, it was something inside there. Something trapped inside there. Bela, kabitio. Okay. Sadhu. Pass on. Okay. Next one. Sadhu. sadhu, 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 on top, on top, on top, on top, yeah, okay, sadhu, 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 the cake can put here. Sadhu, 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 center, sadhu, 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 Okay, we will together offer the garland. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That one didn't, huh? Never mind, I just touch it. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can start our puja. Compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then we will pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the Bodhisattvas and Buddhas. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sim Pusa. Namo Quan Sim Pusa. Namo Quan Sim Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Milo Fo Pusa. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Okay, we will chant the Thai tradition. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Sanghang Namami. Okay. Just relax yourself, maintain some of our attention, then turn to page 4 of your chanting book. We shall now commence the puja chanting. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikapadang samadhiyami Musawada viramani sikapadang samadhiyami Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikapadang samadhiyami. Okay, now we will chant the Padipa Puja, which is offering of light. Ganna sarpa ditena, ditena tamadang sina, tiloka dipang sambuddang, pujayami tamonodang, ganda sambarayutena, Dopenahang sugang hina, pujaye pujani yang tang, puja bajana mutemang, vanna ganda guno petang, etang kesuma santetin, pujayami munindase. Siripada sarorohe pujaimi putang kusumena nena punena matena ce hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang Paniya se bubante, paniyang parikapitang, anukampang upadaya, patikang hatumutamang. Okay, you can now turn to the last page, page 18. We will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path of fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas, sharing and transferring of merits to all departed ones. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Trupa Jam. Budang Pujim. Damang Pujim. Sanghang Pujim. Okay, you can be seated. Eh? Okay, we can off the light, huh? So that we can have about half an hour of meditation. Huh? For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start your meditation. Huh? For those who are new, maybe I will give you some simple instruction. Huh? Then later on, huh, you can go back and read up the blue book that I have given you all earlier on. Huh? The title is Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. That book is a typical meditation class transcript, and it involves very detailed and clear explanation of the whole of meditation within. So when you read through that, you will understand. So in the meantime, when I give you the instruction, you don't have to remember anything. You just listen attentively. Then try to develop the understanding to meditate. That's it. Eh? You will understand them later on when you go back. Eh? We are here to develop a type of meditation which can lead us to the awakening or enlightenment. In Pali, it's called Vipassana. Vipassana is an insight meditation where you train your mind to be silent, peaceful, and aware within. Then you use that trained mind to develop wisdom and to insight into all of phenomena, especially the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. So Vipassana got two words combined together. Vi is the characteristics of nature, which is the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self. Passana is to insight into the characteristics of nature, of each and every phenomena. That's why when you combine the word vipassana, is a type of meditation that can lead to this understanding. Then the moment you can insight into the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self, your wisdom will develop. Then you will have clear understanding of who you are, what you are, and what this human being is all about. Then you will be able to understand life clearly. And through that, you will know how to live life. Then your mind will liberate and become awakened. Then you got no more suffering. You will have the clarity of mind to understand many, many things. According to the Buddha, the reason why you are not able to meditate is because you have mental hindrance. He called them the five mental hindrance or pancha nivarana. They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. So in order to overcome this, I will teach you a very skilled means, which is the mind sweeping method combined with loving kindness, metta, to help you decondition this heedless thinking so that the five mental hindrance will be at bay. And the puja that we did just now, puja is devotional practice and offering to the Triple Gem. Through this puja, we develop a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of merits, a lot of understanding. Then we also at the same time cultivate a lot of meritorious action. We rejoice, we pay respect, we take refuge, we renew our precepts. Then we develop the puja chanting, understand their significance, and make aspiration to help us progress along the path of Dhamma. And then we chant the salutation to the Buddha, the Dhamma and the Sangha later on. And all this will bring forth the faith, the very strong faith, which is Sada, leading to the Virya, spiritual zeal. These are the spiritual faculty that can help you counter the five mental hindrance. Sada leading to Virya, which will drive you to cultivate and meditate. To do that, you have to train your mind so that it is mindful, and this is what we are doing now. The mind sweeping method and the loving kindness metta can help us develop the training of the mind to be mindful, to be peaceful, to be silent and aware within. Then after that, we will use anapanasati, or mindfulness of in and out breath, to stabilize this sati or mindfulness. Sati is the third spiritual faculty. Sati is also called mindfulness in English. Okay, now I will give you the instruction. Relax body and mind. Make sure you have a stable posture. Then check your backbone. Make sure it's straight. Close your eye. Maintain attention at your forehead. Just feel. Don't think. Feel. If you can detect any tightness, any tension, or any stress within, you just silently relax, relax, and relax every part of your forehead muscle. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you move your attention to your facial muscle and eye muscle. Do the same. Feel, don't think, just feel the eye muscle. Relax completely into them. Every strain of your eye muscle, feel it soothingly relax. Then your facial muscle, do the same, sweep it out, feel every layer of your facial muscle, feel it soothingly relax. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax them all. Then in order to assist you to develop this ability to relax, you can radiate love and metta to bring about inner peace and inner well-being. Then you can also visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. This is a very effective way to relax your facial muscle. When you can smile, you are very relaxed. Your facial muscle will relax naturally. Then you can recite, following me. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. As you recite, may I, this body and mind, you must feel it. Be well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind, your entire being. Each and every cell within your physical body and your mind feel. You can repeat, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the inner well-being and happiness within your body and mind. Then you can continue to radiate. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind states too be free from all enmity, free from ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then you can radiate the same metta to your loved ones. May all my loved ones be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize them. They could be your parents, your spouse, your children, or your good friend, or somebody very dear to you, your brothers or your sister. You wish them well-being and happiness just like you read it to your own body and mind. You can visualize them, then direct your this love and metta to them. May my loved ones too be well and happy, free from all suffering, both mental and physical suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then may all beings within this vicinity of SS2, all Kayanamitas and co-cultivator and meditator, may they all too be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can continue to radiate this love and metta to all beings within the whole of PJ Putrajaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, and our Mother Earth, then our planets, then our solar system, our Milky Way and our galaxy, then to all beings throughout the entire universe. May they all to be well and happy, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful, and your mind should be more quiet, silent. Then now you can come back to your facial muscle, just feel, then relax them all. Then move your attention down to your neck, feel, relax, shoulder, feel, relax, hand, back the shoulder, feel, relax. Then move your attention to your heart or chest area. Maintain silent and feel. You can detect any vibration or heartbeat. You just silent everything and stay there. If you are new, you are not so sensitive, then it's okay. It's just like how you feel your forehead, now you feel your chest area. Feel it soothingly, relax into it, every part of it. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax, feel it soothingly, relax. Then you move this attention down to your stomach, do the same, feel, relax. Then you move your attention down further to your abdomen, feel, relax. Then after that, you continue to move your attention down to your leg, feel, relax. Then your buttock, do the same, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole of the mind sweeping method. From the leg, feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Then abdomen, feel, relax. Then move it up to your stomach, feel, relax. Then you sweep it up to your heart and chest area again, silent everything and feel. Then relax every part. Then you move on to your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, neck, feel, relax. Then facial muscle, eye muscle, forehead, do the same. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. This is the quiet mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. You have to stabilize this mind. So I will teach you another skillful means which the Buddha recommended. He called it Anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So Anapanasati is a type of meditation where you train your mind to be mindful of your in and out breath. So instead of feel relaxed, now you develop awareness or mindfulness of your breathing. You maintain attention in front of your nostril. Just like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. Then when you can detect this breathing moving in and out of your nostril, you follow the instruction as follows. Like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Means the mind and the breath move as one without thought. Then breathing out, the mind is aware. So just maintain this training. Initially, if you are new, your mind is still not trained, not stable. So within split second, it will wander off. You will not be able to be with the breathing. Your mindfulness of the in and out breath may not be there. But don't worry, be patient. Every time this mind wander off, you bring it back and maintain attentiveness in front of your nostril. Then you start again. Breathing in, away. Breathing out, away. Continue to train yourself. You can expect the mind to wander off many, many, many times. But if you are patient, within a short span of 5 to 10 minutes, you will develop the ability to be mindful of this in and out breath. And when you can do that, your mind is very peaceful, very calm, and you will experience a type of meditative calmness or meditative joy that they call piti. When piti arises, you continue to relax into it and silence everything. Then after a while, it will stabilize until your mind becomes very quiet and very peaceful. Then piti can also later on transform into another more refined state, which they call sukha. Sukha is a type of spiritual calmness or spiritual bliss. When sukha arises, you will like to meditate because it is a very blissful state. You will feel a lot of peace, a lot of bliss, a lot of silence within. And this is a very good meditative state. The only danger is people tend to get attached to this state. So you continue to relax into it and maintain mindfulness when it arises. Then all of your breathing will start to become different. They will become like very clear, long breathing. That will make you very calm, very peaceful, and very blissful. You continue to relax into it and allow the mind to settle down further and silent more and more. This sukha will continue to transform and become pasati. Pasati is a very good mind state. It is the silent mind, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, where there is no more movement. Everything is very quiet, very still, silent. This is the meditative state. This is the silent mind. So when you hit pasati, you should continue to relax and just silent. Don't do anything and just feel. Develop mindfulness. This mindfulness, when it arises, it will become very, very sensitive. Wherever you locate the mind, it will detect even your subtle breathing, your subtle vibration or movement within your body and mind. You will detect them all. This is the mind that can meditate and understand many, many things. So for those who really know how to meditate, you just silence your mind and just develop the understanding of what is going on within your form and mind. you will start to witness many, many things. All of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha talked about, the dependent origination, the five spiritual faculty, the seven factors of enlightenment, the four noble truths, and the paticca samuppada, or dwelling. Even the five mental hindrances and the three evil roots, you will witness them. Okay, I'll allow you to continue your meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. Still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then maintain in mindfulness, mindfulness of all action or movement in the present moment. Okay, we will now turn to page 6, where we will chant the invocation to the devas. I will read the English translation, then I will chant the Pali. Then after that, we will start the Vandana together. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadam dhamma savanan kalo ayam bandhata Dhamma savanan kalo ayam bandhata Dhamma savanan kalo ayam bandhata Namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vija charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditato Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sango Yadidang chattari purisa yukkani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo, Dakeneyo, Anjali Karaneyo, Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we'll pay respect, triple gem, then we end our puja. Betang pejeri. Damang pejeri. Sanghang pejeri. Okay. You can be seated. Then we will start our Dhamma sharing, huh? Second session is about meditation reporting initially. Huh? You got any meditative experience to report and ask any question related to meditation, you can. Huh? Then after that, we will continue with our Diamond Sutta Dhamma discussion. Today, maybe before we start Diamond Sutta, we will go through J. Krishnamurti quote. Huh? In front of you, there is a sheet of J. Krishnamurti quote on the quiet mind, simple mind. So we will discuss this later. Okay, now I open up for anybody who wants to report their meditation or ask any question related to meditation and the teaching. Anybody? Nobody. Okay, then we... Maybe pass the mic to Sister May. Huh? Pass the mic. If there is no meditation reporting or question, we will go direct to J. Krishnamurti quote. Huh? We get Sister May to help us to read. Huh?
Quiet mind, simple mind. When we are aware of ourselves, it's not the whole movement of living a way of uncovering the me, the ego, the self. The self is a very complex process that can be uncovered only in relationship, in our daily activities, in the way we talk, the way we judge, calculate, the way we condemn others and ourselves. All that reveals the conditioned state of our own thinking, And is it not important to be aware of this whole process?
Okay, stop there. So this first few sentences is very important. If you can understand this, it is already a very good start. So now I will go through here. When we are aware of ourselves, it's not the whole movement of living aware of uncovering ourselves, the me, the ego, and the self. So this is a very powerful statement. So when we talk about aware of ourself, means he is referring to our human form and mind. We call it the human being. But Jay Krishnamurti, he said we have to develop awareness of this form and mind, of this human being. Then he said, it's not the whole movement of living a way of uncovering the me. So this me, in inverted comma, is the ego, the personality, the wrong view or Sakkaya Ditthi that you conceive as this is me, this is I, that there is a human being inside there which has been given a name after you are born into this world. Then you are also given an identity through your birth certificate. Then later on, through your identification card or IC number. Then for other countries, they may give you an identity through your passport so that you can travel abroad. So this whole movement of life or living is a very good way of uncovering the so-called human being. Or when you deludedly call it the self, the me, and the I, or the ego. So awareness is very important. If you are not aware of this whole movement, you cannot understand who you are, what you are. And you will have that delusion, Sakkaya Ditthi, self-delusion, that this human being is what you are. That's why the Buddha said, this is the main cause of suffering. Because you deludedly grasp and cling on to this five aggregate of form and mind, which is the human body and mind, or the human being, that he called the five grasping aggregate, Upadana Khandas. And that is the cause of suffering. The reason why the Buddha broke it down to the five aggregate is because as a human being, we have a physical body, then we have a mind, which is consciousness trapped inside. The physical body is the first aspect of the form. The Buddha called it the rupa, the aggregate of form. Then the second aspect of aggregate of form is the external form that you come to see through your senses. Within your seeing consciousness, everything that you come to perceive are the external form or the external phenomenal world, like how you perceive the Buddha image at the back, the whole of the fixture that you can see in this house, then your fellow colleague or your fellow kayanometers. Then you can also perceive my voice, my vibration, the fan, the aircon sound and all those things. Then you can also perceive the incense through your smell. Then when you eat food, you can also perceive the type of food that you eat. Then you have a body that can feel tactile, hot or cold, pleasant or unpleasant sense experience. So all these are the external form. So these two aspects of form is very important. Then the Buddha said you have a mind trapped inside this physical body. And this mind, he can subdivide it into four more aggregates. To understand this four aggregates of mind, you have to ask yourself, what can your mind do? Then you will be able to break it down. I will write it on the board for those who are new. As a human being, you have a physical body, then you have a mind in the center. So this is your mind or consciousness trapped inside the body. Then this is the physical body. So this is the first aspect of form, first aggregate of form. Then the mind got four more aggregate, the Buddha said. The mind can do four things. The first one is the mind can feel. So it has a feeling aggregate. In Pali they call Vedana, feeling. So this is Vedana. Then there is this second ability of the mind. The mind can perceive. So we call it perception. Whatever that the mind can develop knowing is called perception. So perception in Pali is called sanya. So this is the second aggregate of mind. Then you have the third aggregate. The third aggregate is called sankhara. Sankhara is all of your mental activity. Your mental states, your mental intention, everything that your mind can do, mental activity or movement, activity or movement. And the last aggregate is, the Buddha said, your mind can be conscious. It can be conscious of what you see, conscious of what you hear, so this last aggregate of mind is called consciousness or vijnana. So the aggregate of mind together with these four aggregates, you have the five mental aggregates of form and mind. Form and mind. So this is what the human being is all about. So you have a human being. So the Buddha said, this so-called human being, which is the form and the mind, this one is karmically conditioned out for you to use to live life. And this one is not you. You have to meditate to develop this understanding. That's why Krishnamurti meditated and he came to this understanding. That's why he said, in order to develop wisdom, you must really silence your mind, develop this quiet mind or simple mind so that you can understand clearly who you are, and what this five aggregate of form and mind is all about, what this human being is all about, and why is it can trigger off so much self-delusion that causes the living being to get themselves entangled with life. And through this delusion, self-delusion, sakkayaditti, means you are deluded by what you perceive, that form and mind as real as what you are. And when you do that, the Buddha said, in his first noble truth, final summary, in short, it is this self-delusion that condition wants to grasp at this five aggregate of form and mind that he calls suffering. And this become the five aggregates of grasping. In Pali, it's called upadana khandas. So in Pali, the form and mind is called namarupa. The aggregates are called skandas, or the pancha, the five areas of form and mind, skanda. So with this introduction, now I will continue to develop the explanation so that you can understand. So I will read again. When we are aware of ourselves, means this five aggregate of form and mind, the human being, it's not the whole movement of living a way of uncovering the self-delusion, which is the me, the I, the ego, and the self. The self or the ego is a very complex process that can be uncovered only in relationship, in our daily activities, in the way we talk, in the way we judge, in the way we calculate. Here, calculate means like selfishness. You are being very calculative, understand? Advantage to me or not, for me or not for me, good for me or not good for me. So when you start to develop this selfishness or calculative mind, then that self-delusion set in because you think you exist and you can own things, possess things. Then all this can be owned and possessed. Then they can become yours. So the me become a reality. The me and the I. This is me, this is I. Therefore all this can be mine. That's why you develop the self-delusion. The personality, the egoic mind is straight away surface. Then it tries to own things, possess things. That's how it has selfishness, possessiveness. Then it can have also cunningness. Then because you exist, you can also become emotional, angry, violent, jealous. So all these mind state, mental state come from self-delusion. If there is nobody inside there, then all this mental state cannot arise. Then who is there to get angry? Who is there to become selfish? Who is there to do all these things? None. But because of security, self-delusion, living beings get themselves confused, entangled. That's why they start to deludedly grasp and cling to the five aggregates of form and mind, thinking that this body is what they are. That's why they can worry about it getting sick, getting old, and one day it will die. Then they fear death. But they don't understand who died, what died. So all these are related to life. When you don't understand who you are, what you are, you cannot understand life. You cannot understand the eternal, the timeless, that which is beyond. That's why Krishnamurti said the self or the personality is a very complex process that can be uncovered. You can only see that manifesting in life when you move around, when you talk, when you walk, when you do all those selfish things. That's why when you start to develop all this activity in daily life, in the way we talk, in the way we judge people, we comment and we calculate, and the way we condemn others and ourselves. Sometimes you condemn yourself too, you blame yourself. Then all that reveals the conditioned state of our own thinking. This is how you become conditioned. Condition into all the various views and opinion of things. And through this conditioning, you become more and more entangled, more and more confused. And you get trapped in habitual tendency, rites and ritual. Then you have a lot of limitation. You dare not move. A lot of things like have authority over you, control over you, your belief system, your religious authority, your tradition, even your tribal rules, society's rule, they control you in every way of your life. So because of that, Krishnamurti says, All that reveals the conditioned state of our own thinking. And is it not important to be aware of this whole process so that you are not trapped? Yeah. It is only through awareness of what is the reality or what is true from moment to moment that there is discovery of the timeless, the eternal. This timeless is and the eternal is what they call enlightenment. Yeah. The understanding of the truth and the reality, the awakening. Yeah. Then, without self-knowledge, the eternal cannot be. That's why if you don't understand who you are, what you are, you don't know how to quiet your mind, you don't know how to silence your mind, you don't know how to realize the timeless and the eternal life. That's what meditation is all about. So all this, you will come to understand. Then Krishnamurti go on to say, when we do not know ourselves, means when you are ignorant, deluded, has sakkaya ditti, when you cannot see clearly that this form of mind is not you, then you don't know how to silence your mind. Then the eternal becomes a mere words, a symbol, a speculation, a dogma, a belief, an illusion to which your mind find escape. So that's why a lot of people, when they cannot understand life, when they are confronted with problems and suffering or fear, they go and seek the various type of religion, belief system, various type of concept and idea. Yeah. Some even choose to be non-believer, atheists. Yeah. And a lot got trapped when they grasp and cling onto religious label without understanding. Especially those who believe through blind faith, yeah, believe in God and all those things. So all this is what Krishnamurti has explained. So in order to develop the clear understanding, we will move on to the second paragraph. May you read on. Yeah.
But if one begins to understand the me in all its various activities from day to day, then in that very understanding, without any effort, the nameless, the timeless comes into being. But the timeless is not a reward for self-knowledge. That which is eternal cannot be sought after. The mind cannot acquire it. It comes into being when the mind is quiet, and the mind can be quiet only when it is simple, when it is no longer storing up, condemning, judging, weighing. It is only the simple mind that can understand the real, not the mind that is full of words, knowledge, information. The mind that analyzes, calculates, is not a simple mind.
Okay, thank you so much. That is a very beautiful description of how you can develop the understanding. You need to have a simple mind so that this simple mind can become quiet, peaceful, so that it can realize the timeless, the true nature within, the eternal life. This is what meditation is all about. Meditation is to train your mind to be mindful, to be aware, to be silent, to be peaceful, so that it can awaken to the characteristics of nature, awaken to the reality of who you are, what you are, and to understand everything very clearly. The way of mind, the egoic mind, the self, the me. Okay, now I will move on to explain. Eh? Krishnamurti said, but if one begins to understand the me in its various activity from day to day. See, this is what daily mindfulness is all about, understand that. If you can begin to understand the me, the egoic mind, the conditioned arising mind, the five aggregate of form and mind, or the thought, in all its various activities from day to day, then in that very understanding, you see the word, without any effort. The moment you understand, without any effort, the nameless, the timeless, or the eternal life, it will manifest, it will come into being. But the timeless is not a reward of self-knowledge. It's not something that you should crave for as a reward, understand not? When you develop self-knowledge, then you expect to have that reward. No. Because this one is not a reward. It will just manifest the moment you understand. That's why understanding is wisdom, awakening. Understanding is the most important, which is wisdom. Without understanding, the mind cannot cease. The mind that understands itself will be very quiet, then it will cease to be. Then it will realize the timeless. Then it will manifest. So this one is a very important understanding. Then Krishnamurti said, that which is eternal cannot be sought after. Means you cannot look for it, you cannot crave for it, you cannot desire for it, you cannot want it, anasana. You cannot chase after it. That's why Ajahn Chah said, don't try to become an arahant. If you desire or want to become arahant, it's a becoming. A becoming is a craving to be. And when you have craving, you cannot become enlightened. You cannot become an arahant. An arahant is an enlightened being that is completely free of craving. No more craving. No more ignorance. So that's why it cannot be sorted after. The mind cannot acquire it because it is beyond mind, beyond thought. Understand not? That's why the Buddha said the Dhamma is akaliko. Beyond time, beyond thought. And the Dhamma is also sanditiko, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves, in the here and the now. No need to wait until death. Then it comes into being when the mind is quiet. See, this is the criteria. If your mind is not quiet, this silent, this timeless cannot arise. That's why it must be completely silent, still, without movement, without chattering, without any activity, complete cessation. And the mind can be quiet only when it is simple. So now you must understand what is simple. So what is your understanding of what is simple? To you, what is your understanding? What is a simple mind? Let's discuss this before we look at what Krishnamurti said. What is a simple mind? When you are born as a child, the child is very simple. Why? Because the child doesn't know anything. He's not cunning. He's not curious. He's not sophisticated. That mind is very simple. It just lives. Understand? That's why you see the child with the bright eye, very innocent. Then everything they see, no word one, no concept, no idea one, no cunningness one. Just pure perception, pure innocent. Just aware, that pure state. That is a very simple mind, isn't it? But the moment you grow up, you become very cunning. You become very naughty. You become very curious, and at the same time you become very confused because of your selfishness and all those things. That's why your mind no longer simple. That's why you get angry. You become naughty, you want to scold people, you want to command, you want to judge, you want to do all this. Then you start to store a lot of knowledge. That's why they call accumulation. You start to accumulate experiences. Accumulate knowledge. Then you think you're very intelligent, very smart, very knowledgeable. Then what you do? You debate, you argue, you talk a lot. That might become very, very complicated, complex, and no longer simple. Understand? Now you understand what is a simple mind. A simple mind is a mind that can just be silent, to observe, to understand. That is what meditation is all about. That's why sati, or mindfulness, is the silent, choiceless awareness of what is. You must be silent first. Means what? no mental chattering, no mental dialogue, no mental what they call command or judge or react or any of the movement of thought, which means you are not conditioned into reaction to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. When you can be in a state of equanimity, then you can be in a state of samadhi, where during every moment of sense experience, your mind is collected, unwavering, not stirred. Living beings' mind that has a lot of delusion, especially the ego, they react very fast. They get angry, agitated, unhappy very fast. That's why the mind stir. And when they cannot understand what is going on, when they confront the unknown, or when they are told something that leads to fear, worry, anxiety, their mind becomes restless. And there is phobia. There is intense fear. That's why this type of mind is incapable of understanding, incapable of developing the meditation. So with this explanation, hopefully you can understand. I will read that part again. That which is eternal cannot be sought after. The mind cannot acquire it. It comes into being when the mind is quiet. And the mind can only be quiet when it is simple. Simple means, now Krishnamurti explained, when it is no longer storing up as memory or accumulating all those knowledge or memory as experience. When it's no longer condemning or judging or weighing. Weighing, you know, like calculation, calculative weighing. Advantage or not advantageous to me. You weigh the pro and con, beneficial or non-beneficial. Then Krishnamurti said, it is only the simple mind that can understand the truth or the real, not the mind that is full of words. When you have a lot of knowledge, you are full of words, full of knowledge and information. The mind that analyzes, when you are very good at analyzing things, that's where the problem starts. A lot of meditators get trapped in that without knowing. I come across so many. They keep on coming and report to me. I think that day was, Polian. He come and tell me, he know you have to silence your mind, remember? You have to silence your mind. So you try to silence. Then when you cannot silence, what happened? Complain. Come and tell me. Bratio, why this mind like that? I expect it to be silent. Suddenly, all the movement start. Then, the mind unknowingly become attached, cling, grasp, involved. Then, who created all those questions? The thought, understand? Because you want, which is a craving, to be peaceful, to be silent. But you cannot understand, because you are not patient enough to observe, to silence your mind, to meditate. You are busy thinking, checking. Then when you see something that is not accordant with your knowledge, with what you are told, then you start to allow the thought to manifest. Then you start to create all those comments. So this is what Krishnamurti meant by analysis. When you start to analyze, why is my mind not peaceful? It's not an inquiry, you know, because you get involved with the thought. But when you throw it out and inquire, then it's different. Why am I not peaceful? Then it's different. But when you are caught in the thought process and complain, judge, condemn and reacting, that itself is sakayadhiti, self-delusion. And that is the mind trying to analyze, trying to find out what went wrong, and trying to seek a solution to it. It's just like what I used to tell you. The mind is trying to meditate. Anasana. Who meditate? The thought meditate. That's why the thought try to understand. Then try to note. Then try to make it silent. Means suppress it, control it, come up with various method and technique. And as long as you are actively doing, analyzing, the thought is active, you cannot meditate. That's why that is not a simple mind. There is a very confused mind, a very deluded mind, and at times is a cunning mind, clever, knowledgeable, but not wise. Yeah. Because this mind fails to understand. The mind that analyzes, calculate, is not a simple mind. The mind that can accept things as they are, be with the moment just to observe and understand, that is a simple mind. That is a mind that can understand clearly whatever that is going on. So this is what the Krishnamurti code is all about. And this one comes from his Book of Life, which is a very, very good book. Last time we went through before, there are 365 verses. They call it the daily code. Every day there is one Krishnamurti code. And this one is one of them, the quiet mind and the simple mind. Okay, you got any question? Anybody got any question or want to maybe contribute to some form of sharing? Anybody? You can just put up your hand. The mind is there. Again, no response. Means what? Understood. If you don't understand, you can ask. Don't be worried. Don't be shy. This is what Dhamma discussion is all about. We discuss the Krishnamurti code so that from the discussion you can develop better understanding. And it can also bring forth the causes and conditions for me to explain to you in more detail if you don't understand. Anybody? The mic is there. Pass to Pamasuri. While I have a drink.
Good evening, brother. I have a question about this fight that was spiritual faculties. Is there such thing as a cultivator already have? Because I was having a discussion with some Kayanamitas, cultivators. I already have enough. Is there such thing as I have a cultivator have already have enough saddha?
Okay. So what was the question?
Is there such thing as a person?
Yeah, is there a question behind that statement? What is it that you want to understand? Or you just want to understand whether that statement is the truth or not?
Yeah, is it correct to say that a cultivator already have enough saddha?
You see, like I said, enough according to him, understand? Or according to somebody. So it's a relative statement. That's why I ask you, is there a question behind that statement? Yeah, that statement is a very general statement, relative. And most important thing is saddha is faith. Faith, when it comes about through an understanding, which is not blind faith, that it is very different. That faith can be developed until they become powers, understand? Balas. What is balas? The same five spiritual faculty, but when you have trained them and developed them until they become unshakable, that is what balas is all about. So when it has reached a state of balas, then you are very stable already, understand? Then it's not a question of I have enough or not enough, understand? It's the stability of it. The moment you are very stable in your spiritual faculty, means the spiritual faculty are a part of you. Never in any moment or any split second, the five spiritual faculty is not there. Understand? But when you are still cultivating, not stable yet, then this spiritual faculty, sometimes there, sometimes not there, sometimes strong, sometimes not strong. Especially the moment you are heedless, is completely gone. Because sati is mindfulness. When you are heedless, you cannot be in sati. So for you to have a very stable spiritual faculty, especially sati, you have to be ever mindful. Means that mind is constantly aware. Initially it's in your waking moment, then later on even when you are sleeping, when you are resting, the mind can maintain awareness. If it's already stable, means it's connected to the true nature, the true mind. That's why the Buddha is called the awakened one. He is no longer asleep. He is 24 hours awake. He is fully aware. That's why he is called the Sammasambuddha, the awakened one. Means he is no longer sleeping. Human beings who are heedless, they sleep a lot. They are never awake. That's why they say, through delusion, avijja. You sleep through eternity. So in Hokkien, last time Suwano used to use this word, gong gong, toa gong gong, chia gong gong, see all the gong gong gong, delusion. You through delusion, every day you just do what other people do, or what you believe to be living, but you are actually not aware, not heedful. Okay? Then, any question behind the statement? That's why I said, do you have any question? So you want to know how sadha can be developed until it becomes unshakable? Is that the intent of that question? Enough means, that's why I say it's relative. Enough according to him is definitely correct, understand? But to him, it's enough because his faith to him. But later on, as he penetrates, as he develops clearer understanding, then he realizes there is another level of sadha. Understand? The sadha that is unshakable is the real stable one. So when you talk about I have enough sadha, means at that moment, that form in my belief, it has enough. So no harm, understand? Because with that faith, they actually become very different. Then they are very confident. But if you start to talk about right and wrong and you argue with him, it creates doubt in him, understand? Or sometimes create doubt in you. Then why do you want to know? That's why I say, don't try to know. When the faith is there, you will know. When sati is there, you will know. When sadha is there, you will know. Understand? Because it is very different. When your faith is very strong, the heart is very different. You will listen attentively. Then it will absorb, it will draw, because it's a spiritual faculty that can enable you to understand spiritual things. So when you have faith, that is the most important spiritual faculty that it will drive you to cultivate. But that faith must come through understanding. Understanding clearly who the Buddha is. How wonderful this Dhamma is teaching. Then how you connect to the Aryan Sangha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, or true Kayanamitas that has the Dhamma, or Dhamma friends that has the Dhamma, so that you can actually develop the condition to cultivate all this, to awaken. So sadha comes from reflection and contemplation, deep into who the Buddha is, how special a being he is, and how wonderful his teaching is all about, which is the Dhamma, and how it can transform the individual. How it can liberate the mind so that it can become enlightened, so that it can be free from all suffering, free from all fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, so that he can have the good life, the noble life, the beautiful life, the meaningful life, so that suffering need not be, so that everything that arises is beautiful, meaningful. And this is what life is all about. You can live life to the fullest, experience life to the fullest. And this form of mind can serve you well. Then when you understand that all these are possible, when you develop the cultivation, then your virya will become very strong. Saddha will push forth the virya. The virya is a spiritual zeal that comes about after the faith has been developed. Then when saddha and virya is there, it will spur you to cultivate. That's why you will cultivate. You will develop the training until you follow the advice of the Buddha. Strive on with heedfulness. Then your sati will come. Then you will know how to stabilize it. Then you will know how to develop it until it becomes balanced. Until throughout the day you are aware. Sati is always with you, part of you. Okay? Then when sati stabilize, it becomes samadhi. Then when you have sati and samadhi throughout the day in daily mindfulness, you can see things as they are very clearly, and you can awaken the phenomena. That's why wisdom will come to be. When saddha and sati is very stable, you will continue to see things as they are, because sati is without thought. Then samadhi is the unwavering mind, collected and unwavering. So at the moment of sense experience, there is no movement. There is no conditioning, nothing. That's why it can see things as they are clearly. And it can see truth, the reality. That's why it can insight into phenomena. It can awaken without words, without thought. It's just the silent mind that is fully aware, that is fully attentive, without any movement. That's why the mind has to be quiet, still, silent. Of course, Krishnamurti used the word simple to let you understand. That's why when you meditate, I say don't try to know. Just silent, relax, and aware. Then everything will come to be. The silent mind will understand. It will awaken. It's within the silent that understanding manifests. Like Krishnamurti say, only then the timeless can come about. The eternal can come about. Without that silence, that stillness, that mind that is completely quiet, still, tranquil, it can never come about, and you can never understand. That's why the timeless and the eternal is beyond thought, beyond mind, no movement, no mental chattering, no arising of mind. The aggregate always is finally. That's why the mind realizes itself. No need to think, just silent. Then it will realize Nibbana, which is the cessation of form and mind. And it will come to a very natural process when you understand life completely. When you understand who you are, what you are, the unreality of this form and mind. Then you will know how to silent and connect. Then this silent is without effort. Effortless, like Krishnamurti put it. Yeah, it's effortless. So this is a very important understanding. Without any effort, the nameless, the timeless come into being. Yeah, the beginning of the second paragraph. Okay? Yeah. Any other question? Anybody else want to ask any question or share anything? Otherwise, we will stop the Krishnamurti code. Then we go into Diamond Sutta. We will continue from where we stopped. We stop at page 40 something, 42, Is it correct? 42? Okay, we will read the opening statement on page 1. Verse for opening, Pasutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. So this one is just to refresh yourself. Okay, turn to page 42, the Orthodox Doctrine of the Great Vehicle. Chapter 3. The Buddha told Subhuti, all bodhisattvas, mahasattva, should thus subdue their mind with the vow, I must cause all living beings, those born from egg, born from womb, born from moisture, born by transformation, those with form, those without form, those with thought, those without thought, those not totally with thought, and those not totally without thought, to enter Nirvana without residue and to be taken across to extinction. Extinction here means cessation. Cessation. Yet the immeasurable boundless numbers of living beings thus taken across to extinction or cessation, there is actually no living being taken across. And why Subhuti? If a bodhisattva has a mark of self, a mark of others, a mark of a living being, or a mark of a life, he is not a bodhisattva. That's why this is very profound wisdom, very profound understanding. And do you know how this understanding come about? It appears very contradictory. Initially, you want to go bodhisattva where you take the vow. The vow to save and liberate living beings, the countless living beings. Then after you have taken across all, in actual fact, they understand there is no living being. That's why I used to tell you all, no one die, no one born, no one sick, no one old. People cannot understand. This come about through what? Actually, it doesn't contradict itself, you know. Everything is perfect. As you understand. That's why you look at the Heart Sutta last time we went through. The Heart Sutta also say the same thing. Initially, before Kuan Yin illuminated the five aggregate of form and mind, and realized that they were empty, what was the teaching? That's why initially there is Four Noble Truths, isn't it? There is enlightenment, isn't it? There is a cultivator, isn't it? There is a Buddha, there is a Bodhisattva. All these exist, understand not? But in the conditioned world, understand not? In the world of form and mind, following nature's law, understand not? But when Kuan Yin realized that enlightenment, what did he say? In true emptiness. He used the word in true emptiness. Means when you penetrate and realize true emptiness, then he realized everything don't exist. Even Four Noble Truths also don't exist. There is no birth, no old age, no sickness and death. There is no suffering, cause of arising of suffering, cessation of suffering, and the path that lead to the cessation of suffering. Then there is no want to attain to enlightenment. Then all this become like in the negative. No addition, no subtraction. So all this you will start to understand. That's why the Heart Sutta is also very profound. And to be a real bodhisattva, to realize the Sammasambuddhahood, to be a fully enlightened Sammasambuddha, you have to cultivate based on the understanding of this Diamond Sutta. If you cannot develop the understanding of this Diamond Sutta, you are wasting your time. The Buddha said, there is no way you can develop this type of perfection. Because this type of cultivation, the merits that come with this type of cultivation, based on this type of understanding, is way, way beyond the normal type of cultivation. Understand? That's why he, in the sutta, in certain chapter, is mentioned last time we went through that you can even understand four stanza of the sutta, this diamond sutta, cultivate it and teach it to others. The merits are immeasurable. It is so much more than, he said, any living being, he said, who has actually lived very long, let's say, and you can have the condition to have this seven treasure of this universe, then you offer to all the Sammasambuddha of the three period of time. He said, your merit is still nowhere compared to that person who understand the four stanza, cultivate it, and just share the Dhamma with other living beings. Oh. You just imagine how powerful that type of cultivation is. So all this, when you start to develop the higher understanding of the perfection of Sammasambuddhahood, you will come across different level of understanding, and you will penetrate deeper and deeper into all this understanding. That's why this sutta is very profound. It's one of the most, I should say, profound Prajna Paramita teaching, perfection of wisdom teaching. Yeah. Okay, we read on. So, according to the commentary, Shenhua said, the Buddha told Subhati how all bodhisattvas should subdue their mind. Actually, not subdue, should develop the training of the mind through understanding. Yeah? Subdue means like you try to control, suppress, or force it not to move, understand? Or like subdue somebody who is very fierce and very violent. So to them, is maybe they think it's a monkey mind, yeah? Very playful and very naughty, very deluded. So they want to subdue this monkey mind, to tame it. Yeah? But the actual understanding is you don't have to tame or subdue. You only have to understand that it is deluded. That's why it becomes like that. He becomes so confused, so crazy, so energetic, like Sun Wukong. No matter how powerful Sun Wukong is, he got the 72 manifestation that make him very special. He can actually travel through great distance in short time. But then when the Buddha challenged him, he said, you can't even escape from my Wutsusana, Ngjisana, the palm. Because this one denotes the five aggregate of form and mind. Understand? You are trapped inside the five aggregate of form and mind. You cannot free. You cannot liberate. That's why, because of the super ability of the Buddha, he manifests this into like existent like that. So Sun Wukong, he thought he can travel very fast, and in no time he thought he was at the edge of the universe, where he saw this like actually manifestation of the finger into like a very big mountain. So he thought he is already way beyond the Buddha's palm. So he was very egoic. So what he did was he started to laugh, then he pee there, and he wrote something there. He said, I'm already at the edge of the universe. Your palm is still so far away. Then, when he went back to the Buddha, he told the Buddha what happened. Then the Buddha said, are you sure? The Buddha showed him his palm. Then on one of the fingers, he saw his urine and his wood there. Then he realized he is still trapped within the five aggregate of form and mind. So that was the what they call what CUG. It's like a legend. Actually, the person who wrote that story, he is also not bad, understand? But the monk who went to India is a real monk, no? Tang San Zhang. He is really documented in history under the emperor that sent him. Then by the time he come back, I think the emperor also passed away, the son took over. Then the tree, Tang San Zhang, he took along the three disciples, you remember? One of them is Sun Ho Kong, you know, the first one. Then Chu Pa Jie, then Sa Zhen. You know what are these three, you know? Your three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Sun Ho Kong is full of this type of delusion, one, monkey mind. He very cunning one, do all sorts of funny things. At first, pretend to obey. So the Tang San Zhang helped him to come out of the mountain. He was actually pressed under the mountain because of the bet that he did with Sakyamuni Buddha, the Buddha. Then he lost. Then he was trapped there for very long. Then Kuan Yin told him, is it, a monk will pass by, he will help you, but you must follow him to the west to actually bring back the Dhamma, the Buddha Dhamma. He said, yes, yes, yes. Then during that time, everything was okay. But the moment he come out, after a while, he become very violent. He doesn't want to obey. Then he wants to break away. Then Kuan Yin helped to use the ring, the magic ring, to actually tame him. So every time Tang San Zhang chant the Heart Sutta, he will get into trouble. His head will spin. So because of that, he got this monkey subdued. Then Chu Pa Jie is the last full one, full of lust, full of greed one. Then Sa Zhen is full of anger and hatred. So you see, when you have these three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, you need Tang San Zhang, a monk, to control them, understand? To tame them, so that they can work for him, so that he can finally go to India and get back the Dhamma. Means receive the Dhamma together with these three disciples. That's why when you have wisdom, when you have understanding, you can get them to actually develop the understanding so that they won't behave like before. Then you use them. That's why the five degrees of form and mind is the same. When you are not deluded, when you don't attach and cling, they become beautiful. They become very useful tools or vehicle for you to use to live life, to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. And because of the wisdom and the understanding through the Dhamma, you don't have to suffer anymore. So that was the intent of that legend. So similarly for this Diamond Sutta, you can have that type of understanding and cultivation, you will be very different. Okay, now we read on. The Buddha told Subhati how all bodhisattvas should subdue their mind. So here maybe you don't use the word subdue, you can use the word train their mind. All can mean many, the entire host of bodhisattva, or it can refer to each individual bodhisattva, or it can refer to just one specific bodhisattva. Many is just one. One is likewise many. Two comes into being based upon the existence of one. Adding 1, 2, 3 until 8, 9, 10 and so forth, there arise the many. Thus all is said to mean one. Then he said, which one? The bodhisattva who subdues his mind. And if you really want to know who the bodhisattva is, you are that bodhisattva. Although that may sound unprincipled, actually there is no principle which can be expressed. If you truly wish to know who the Bodhisattva is, you yourself must become the Bodhisattva. If you as a common people believe that you can become a Buddha, how much more easily can you become a Bodhisattva? So this is just Xuanhua's way of commentary. Then the word Mahasattva means great beings, and it refers to great Bodhisattva. That's why Maha. Maha is great. Mahayana, the great vehicle. Then last time Theravada is called Hinayana. Hina is a small vehicle. Wow, the orthodox tradition, the Theravada takes objection to that. They get so upset, they don't want that name. They say, how can you call a Hinayana? They want to change name to Theravada. You know what is Theravada? Thera means what? The eldest. More than 20 years renunciation. Or minimum 10 years. So, Theravada means the vehicle of the eldest. Understand? Of the orthodox tradition, the original one that preserved the teaching. That's why they become Theravada, orthodox. And they don't like people to call them Hinayana, referring to the small vehicle. So don't go and argue anymore. Now Theravada is a better word, so we accord and flow. So Xuanhua is trying to make fun of all this word. He said, how large is a great Bodhisattva? How can you ask about the size of a great Bodhisattva? He is just as great as a great Bodhisattva. The seven meanings of a Mahasattva will give an idea of this granule. That's why to be a Mahasattva, you must satisfy these seven. The first one is what? So you want to like graduate, you go through graduate school, you pass the graduate exam, then you qualify to become a graduate. You got your bachelor degree. Then after that, to be a Mahasattva is what? You have to study more. Then you do your master degree. Then after master degree, you do your PhD. So all these are the various stages. So to be a Mahasattva, you must pass through these seven qualities or perfection that they have developed. So for those who want to walk the Bodhisattva way, you listen. First one is what? He has perfected great roots. What are roots? What are roots? The three evil roots. These are evil roots. These are not great roots. What are the great roots? Yeah, the ten paramita, very good. You see, great roots are all your perfections, understand not? All of your perfection which are non-greed, non-delusion, then non-like ill will and all those things. No positive and negative craving and no delusion. So this is a very first important qualification. So he has perfected great roots. Not only cultivated, no. Perfected, no. You know, to perfect is so much more than just to cultivate, understand? It's just like you have cultivated the five spiritual faculties. Means sometimes have faith, sometimes no faith, understand? Then the other spiritual faculty. But if you say perfected means what? You have actually perfected it. It's always with you, understand? You have become like very skillful in it. And you have perfected it. It's a part of you. So this is perfection. For limitless kapas, the Bodhisattva has made offering before the Buddhas to the Triple Gem, which is the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, bowing and revering, or cultivating reverential salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, and performing many meritorious and virtuous deeds. From this act, great roots develop. In the last passage of the Vajra Sutta, which is the Diamond Sutta, it is stated, you should know that such people have not planted good roots with just one Buddha, two Buddha, three, four, or five, but have planted good roots with how many? Countless or measureless millions of Buddha. So what you expect? Huh? You think easy to have great roots or not? To encounter one Sammasambuddha takes so long. Huh? And you must perfect your affinity and your what they call good karma to make offering to all these Sammasambuddha, and not one, two, three, or five. You must have planted good roots with measureless millions of Buddhas. That's why Mahasattva are not easy. And you know who are the real great Mahasattva? Huh? They're the four you always have affinity and pay respect when we go to the spiritual way place of these four. Who are they? Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and Puthosan. Then Pusien and Ermesan. Then Manjusri at Uthaisan. Then Ti Chang Wang Pusa at Jiuhuasan. So all these are great Mahasattva, understand? They actually can become Sammasambuddha already. So this is just to let you understand the extent of perfection that you need to cultivate. Then the second one is what? He has great wisdom. So you want to know the meaning of this great wisdom or not? His great wisdom is evident in his resolve to realize Bodhi. Without wisdom, such a decision cannot be made. Good roots and wisdom acquired from cultivation in past life enable people to read the sutta and participate in Dhyan session, means Samadhi session. A person lacking good roots would from the moment he enter the monastery door find his heart jumping as though it were inhibited by a monkey and pounding so hard that standing would be uncomfortable and sitting unbearable. He would resemble a god manifesting the five marks of decay. This five mark of decay means what? The deva about to die already, understand? Screaming and fidgeting in his seat and finally running away. On the other hand, even though I threaten to beat my disciple and scold him daily, they do not run away. This is Swinhurst's commentary. They don't run away because they have good roots. Don't think that a blow from the incense board is easy to endure. It's no joke. All of you who have not yet become enlightened are candidates for beating. So you want to become his disciple, get ready for the spanger. By now, I should have beaten you all into running. My intention is to bring you all to enlightenment. Not only must one have great wisdom and the resolve to realize Bodhi, but one must also rescue living being. Actually, it's liberate living being. He mentioned about Kuan Yin. Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, universal door, exemplified such resolve. However, in taking living being across or liberating living being, one should not become attached to the mark of taking them across, like Emperor Wu of Liang Dynasty. So you now can recall, this Emperor Wu of the Liang Dynasty, he asked Bodhidharma, remember? He said, I built so many temples, I supported so many of their Dhamma assembly, and feed them and do all those meritorious deeds and action and offering. How much merits do I have? Bodhidharma replied, zero. And he was so upset, you know, because he do all this with a mark, understand? You know? Mark of what? That there is a person to do merit, understand? You know? There is a person that gets merit, you know? So his action is out of what? Out of greed to get the merit, you know? That out of delusion, because he thinks there's a person who do it, understand? You know? Then when he says zero, he get angry. You know? Then he do it with emotion. So the three evil roots are still there. So here's Chen Hua explained. When he met the first patriarch, Bodhidharma, he said, look at me. I have so many monks live the home life. I have built so many temples, constructed so many bridges. How much merits would you say I have accrued? He displays arrogant attachment to Marx and kept stressing the point, look at how great my merit is. Although you are a Dhamma master from India, I doubt you have as much merit as I. The emperor expected Bodhidharma to praise him, to praise his merit as vast and boundless. But the straight mind is the field of enlightenment. And Bodhidharma simply replied or said, you haven't got any merit. You know why or not? Do you know why he answered that? Do you think he lied? Do you think Bodhidharma lied or not? You think he lied or not? How can the king did so much thing? He said, zero. No merit. You haven't got any. In the mundane way, you think he lied. How can a person contributed so much to the sasana and you say he got no merit? Only he can say it. You know. Well, he's the enlightened one. Understand, huh? To him, merit means what? When you are enlightened, without evil roots of greed, hatred, delusion, that is the true merit, you know, pure merit. You know. The emperor one is tinted with so much delusion and mark, understand, you know, and selfishness, acting out of greed, acting out of delusion. So to him, it's not a merit at all, understand? You know? It's not pure merit, understand? You know? So he never lied, understand? You know? That's why when people cannot understand, say, how can Bodhidharma is the first patriarch? You know? How can he lie in front of the emperor? He didn't lie. That's why people cannot understand. Even Shen Hua didn't explain it this way. You know? We read on, see what he said. The emperor actually had been taking living beings across, but he was attached to the mark of taking them across and sought a certification from the patriarch, who would have guessed that Bodhidharma would look him straight in the eye as if to say, I don't care if you are emperor, I refuse to submit to your imperial decorum. I think this part is added by Shen Hua. I don't think Bodhidharma would think like that. The emperor lacked genuine wisdom and thus become attached to Mark. But he didn't explain that Bodhidharma is an enlightened being. So to an enlightened being, true merit is what? It has to be pure merit, isn't it? Merits that are free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. That's why he never lied. He said, you don't have any merit. Because to him, as an enlightened being, if you talk about merit, it's from a free mind. If you can recall, during the Buddha's time, I think in one of the sutta, it was mentioned. Because there are so much of this argument and confusion. They say they have done so much merits and all this thing. And you know what the Buddha told them or not? If you cannot silence your mind and develop a pure thought that is free of the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, even for one split moment, no, that merit is much, much higher than all of your offering and doing with the heedless mind, with the mundane mind that is still deluded with Sakaya Ditti. Just one moment of pure thought, no, is so powerful. That's why you can sit, relax, meditate, and silence your mind. That moment surpass all of your so-called mundane merits. That's why no point. One moment of pure thought. Even if you can pay respect to the Triple Gem, sincerely, without delusion, with faith, Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, then you do. That's why the Buddha said, the Sangha is a field of limitless merit, anasana. They are worthy of what? The four pairs of beings, enlightened beings, they are worthy of what? Reverential salutation, offering, gift, and hospitality. Even when you pay respect without delusion, sincerely through your understanding and your faith, without the mark of a self doing it, that merit is immeasurable. Yeah. Because these are triple gem, anasana. Not only enlightened being, fully enlightened. Yeah. And the gem, the most precious among all the precious stones, they are called the gemstone. That's why the triple gem are a great field of merits. So this is a very important understanding, okay? Oh, 10:30, we have to stop. So we stop at number 2. So the rest you go and read, 3 to 7. Any question or not so far? Yeah? Any particular question? If you don't have question, then maybe what we will do is we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, then after that we invoke the blessing for the nation. Then you can make your aspiration. Yeah? Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akka satta cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu lokasasana. No, I will read the English translation. The chanting book one is different. I will read the translation so that you understand what this sharing of merits with the deva is all about. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. The dispensation here means the Buddha Sasana. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may they contribute greatly to their happiness and well-being. Transfer merits to departed ones and those who can receive them. Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Deo asato kalena sasa sampati hetu ca vito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the ruler, be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.